Hi, it's TJ Murphy, editor-in-chief of Lava the Magazine. I'm privileged to have as my guest today someone that has become part of the fabric of the very dicey world of trying to figure out who's going to do well at the Hawaii Ironman, the Ironman World Championship in Kona, which is coming around the corner. And the website, by the way, is tryrating.com, and my guest, can you help me with your name again? Torsten, and the last name?
It's a hard name for all the non-German speakers, I guess. Torsten Rade would be the German. Rade. So as long as you don't say Thorsten, I'm fine with everything.
Torsten Rade, great. Well, guten Tag, and thanks so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure. I look forward to having a chat and talking about Kona and triathlon. That's my fun part of the day. So anytime.
That's fantastic. And, you know, it's so interesting. You've filled what I believe has been a need for a long time. I've been an editor of one triathlon magazine or another for off and on for the last 20 years. And every year we'd, you know, come July, August, we'd sit around a table and try and make predictions. We'd each try and, you know, we'd send in our five, each editor would pick their top five for the men's and women's races. And it was all absolutely, I never got it right. Let me just tell you that I haven't gotten it right since Paul and Newby Frazier was racing, and it was always easy to pick. But I'm really curious to hear about your background. Obviously you saw such a need, and I should mention that if you go to tryrating.com, not only do you have some really interesting analysis that you report on the athletes and the mix for, the Ironman World Championship, but you also rate courses and, You've developed a model that really gives some rational sort of framework for how people might end up doing in Kona. And can you just tell me your story? Like, when did you get interested in doing this? And how did you come about creating what you've created?
Well, you make it sound like I'm executing some kind of master plan that I started with and have a 5-year plan of world domination or something. It actually started as a little research project that I started to work or question that I was interested in myself, comparing, you know, times between Kona, between Frankfurt, and between Rot, because the way the Frankfurt and Rot results always panned out was, all the Americans were saying that the courses in Europe are short anyways, and all these side notes of the discussion around that. So
interesting.
That's how it started. And I thought I would, you know, get some data from these three races, do a little bit of analysis, and then figure out the approximate time differences that an athlete would have from between these courses. So Rot would probably be the fastest. Frankfurt was pretty quick too. And then Kona has always been one of the slower courses. So I thought, well, maybe if I come up with something like 5 minute between Rot and Frankfurt, and then 15 minute between Frankfurt and Kona. So that was what I wanted to start with. And then I found out that there is no data drop that you can just get for these races. It's no one has collected data that in the form that you can, you know, get somewhere and download a giant spreadsheet with all the race results. So I started processing race results, and that was interesting in itself. And over time, I added more courses, I added more races, I added more results, and pretty quickly I had a database that I don't think anyone else had at that point, where if a name popped up on a start list, I could just dig into my database and tell you, where has this guy raced before? Where was he good at? Which results did he have? Which fast courses did he do? Which slower courses did he do? And try to come up with some kind of rating for courses is what I started with initially, but also rating for the athletes. How do you compare the different performances on the courses? And then that built and built. And well, 5 years later, this is where I am, pretty much. Have the complete Ironman challenge results from 2005 onwards, mostly on the Ironman side and pro data only. Then probably 3 years ago, I started adding 70.3s to follow the KPR in much more detail. And that became a little side project in its own. money lists, Collins Cup world rankings, all of that kind of grew out of the initial idea of small 1 week or 2 week project.
Oh my goodness. And so obviously you have a math background of some sort. Is that fair to say? And I'm also kind of curious what your day job is.
Well, my day job, and that's pretty much the background that I'm coming from, is I work as an IT consultant in databases, in development, in testing, and these areas. Pretty much boring work these days. Banking is a good paying job, but not the most fascinating data to work with. Though it does have its fun moments, but oftentimes it's, triathlon is much more interesting in real life to follow than banking transactions going on. So that's my background. That's why I have, coding skills, database skills,
gotcha.
Handling data. That's stuff that I do during my day job and that I kind of like doing. I know a lot of people are kind of allergic to Excel, and Excel is like a hobbyist tool for me. So that's how things are. I mean, it's a great tool. You can do a lot of stuff with it, but for the real number crunching, Excel is a starting point.
Yeah. And, I have no idea how familiar you might be with American baseball, but there's a kind of a parallel character in these universes of ours, triathlon versus baseball, and that the book Moneyball came out how many years ago, but that all was traced back to the work by Bill James, and I think he wasn't working a kind of job like you have, but he had an analytical background, and so he looked at this whole sport of baseball through a lens that just really hadn't been picked up, and it's changed the sport, I think what's refreshing about it is that, there are these vast differences in not just courses, but, how the weather might affect a day. And I'm sure that these are things that you obviously think about quite a bit.
So that's basically when a race is over. Like this weekend we had Ironman Wales, which was crazy conditions, rain, wind, everything. I can pretty much compare how slow Wales was to, how this year's Wales was to previous years or to other courses that might be way faster than Wales, and try to come up with kind of how do you compare times between different courses, between different races from year to year to make it kind of a neutral number that is workable and can be used as a basis for expecting how someone would do, say, in Kona or in other courses.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know how you could possibly, I'm sure you've probably thought about it, maybe even figured out ways, but when you think about, for example, let's talk about Kona, and you see some years, you can see quite a bit of variation in what the top finishing times are, and that's probably, obviously suggesting in terms of how much wind there might have been part of the whole experience. Some athletes are going to be a little bit better in the wind than others, but or maybe is that something that you are able to kind of put into your computations, like the skill levels or talents or capacities of athletes? Some might do better in worse conditions, or is that just too hard to kind of figure in?
It's really hard to figure out. I mean, one of the questions that I really have in the back of my mind is trying to figure out. I can look at the relative performances of athletes, so I could, for example, figure out who's doing well in Kona and who isn't, and I could try and cross-correlate that which other courses are indicators that if you do well in, I don't know, say Malaysia, are you a good athlete for Hawaii as well? Mm. But the problem with a lot of the data that we have is people race once, twice, maybe three times a year. They hardly race against each other, so it's really hard to compare them.
Right.
You have very limited data, and I mean, almost every data point that you get, you almost have to question. Take Jan this year in Austria. He did go sub eight, but was he really in top shape? Mm. How much did the 2 weeks of training that he missed because he was sick when his kid got a flu? How much did that impact him? How much was he really peaking for Austria? So we have almost every data point that we get. You can't really take it at full value.
Right.
And then that's even short of, okay, conditions on race day were crazy. He had a flat. He was 20 minutes ahead of everyone else, so he shut it down on the run. All of these are factors that just make the data points quite tricky to work with. So I don't know if it's statistically significant to compare, you know, who's doing good in Kona and who's doing well in Malaysia or so on. But it's something that I would like to get into and maybe get a bit more deeper understanding of how much the data is really significant that I have.
Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it? You brought up a good point. Years ago, I was covering Ironman Australia, and it was the first Ironman Australia after Chrissy Wellington had come on the scene in terms of winning her first Ironman World Championship. And, you know, she was so, and her coach Brett Sutton knew it, that she was so good and so talented and so strong that she didn't need to, he really needed to coach her so that she wouldn't blow herself to pieces at Ironman Australia. She could cruise to a win and not and have something left in the tank and not take too much out of the body, so that you know, and that's if you can do that. Obviously, if you're not so advanced as Chrissy was, and you're just fighting your way to try and get to the get to Kona, it's a bit of a different ball game there, but it's fascinating to think about, isn't it?
Yeah, and again, that's what makes things pretty hard to predict, because Kona is probably, well, and maybe 70.3 champs to a lesser degree, but Kona is pretty much the only race in the whole year where we see such a deep field, mm-hmm. and everyone trying to absolutely maximize what they're able to do on race day. Yeah. Whereas for other races, a lot of them are B and C races. And it's not like people go intentionally slow or something, but yeah, for Wales, I don't think you can read a ton of things from someone, or like Lucy Gossage did when she finishes like 10:15 or something. That would be totally slow times for any other course, but for Wales, it's really hard to figure out what that means with the conditions that we have. So lots of interesting challenges, lots of ways that even with the numbers I have, you can still put question marks against everyone. And that's also some of the fun, is that you have to compare the raw numbers to some gut feeling always has to be added to that. Do the numbers make sense? Obviously, for a lot of the Kona athletes, they have a number of races on their calendar, a lot of races that form the basis for predictions. But I mean, even if you take someone like Tim Don after his Brazil times, is that a good estimate of his capabilities, or have the races he did before that, are they more typical of where he is going to be in Kona? And always a lot of fun questions for Kona, a lot of discussion. So I mean, getting the top five is next to impossible, I guess. Top 10 would be even harder.
sure. And, you know, and then there's one of the other interesting factors that I've just, as a journalist, I've been aware of. And I've, well, you know, I'm sorry, I'm going to go sideways here real quickly. But you and triathlon, I assume that you're not just a fan of the sport, but it's something that you've participated in.
Yeah, I used to do that in my younger days. I did a couple of Ironmen. I was never at a level of thinking of qualifying for Kona that was like 2 or 3 hours off the times that I did. But it was something that I enjoyed.
You and me too, brother. Don't worry, there's plenty in that boat.
No, but I think it's something that I can relate to, even to if I look at a number of the pros. I mean, they're so much faster, it's not even funny. But there's a lot of struggles that they get through, that they have to deal with, that I can totally relate to. I mean, You have a number of athletes that still have a part-time or full-time job, even when they're a pro and trying to do well in Kona. A lot of the females, like Lucy Gossage, I just mentioned her, is working as a doctor pretty much full-time now. Yeah. In addition to being a pro and a successful pro at that level. And these are things that I guess a number of the edge groupers as well can totally relate to. How do you balance these demands of doing well in an Ironman while also staying in a job and doing a good job there? And I think these are a lot of interesting stories, and that's also part of why I enjoy so much what I'm doing, is that you get in touch with a number of really nice and interesting people and sharing their stories and talking about things and their challenges. That's really interesting stuff to me.
Yeah, me too. And Lucy is amazing. And the fact that she's doing as well as she does, where we were talking about an arena where, you know, Jan Frodeno isn't going off to the hospital to do his rounds. It's remarkable. And you know, that just speaks to what some of the top age groupers are able to do. And I remember once, speaking of data points, going down a list that the WTC had compiled and had made available to journalists at the Ironman. And it was, this was in Kona 1 year years ago, where it just listed the professions being represented by the age groupers that had qualified for Hawaii. And just, you know, most were doctors or engineers. And it just so it says something to their ability to accomplish a lot and be very organized about it. I think that that's, I'm sure that Lucy's about as disciplined as a person as you're going to find.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, she has to, she wants to get all things in her life organized to a decent level. I mean, I heard a lot of stories that Lucy does have her looser periods, let's call it that way, too, and that maybe things are not always 100% OCD for her. But yeah, she has to have a certain level to be able to do what she does.
Yeah, and you know, one of my pages I like, if I'm very interesting on your site, again, it's tryrating.com, and that is your top 10 ratings, and I'm looking at it right now, and it was updated mid-July, and I know that, again, you've got a fresh report coming out in not too long, kind of as we talked about offline, based on when you get some important information from the Ironman folks. But it's interesting. You've got the top 10 rated male athletes, female athletes, and then you also go through swim rated Ironman distance athletes.
Right.
This looks like a lot of work to me to kind of keep this. So obviously you're collecting all the results and inputting that the data you need to kind of produce your ratings.
Yeah, I mean, the weekend, usually the Sundays, depending on how many races there are, I just have a couple of hours of work of getting all the races from the different race websites in all the different formats they have. For some races, hunting down a site where that they actually have decent race results posted. I mean, that's always a little tricky to get the proper data there, then importing that into my database and running the numbers on them. Running the numbers turns out to be the lesser part now. Once I have the data in the results in my database, then most of that is pretty much starting a program that I did a couple of years ago. I mean, I tweak that once in a while with details, but most of the processing is pretty much automatic by now. But getting the results, that's the bigger part now.
Yeah. It's a wonderful thing. And I should mention that so the Kona report that is forthcoming, it's not just a couple pages. You load that baby up.
Yeah, I mean, I put everything in there that I find interesting. And I think the first year I put it out, it was like 15 pages and basically just listed everyone's results before that. And it grew and grew, and now I have like 100 plus pages, probably, well, let's see where I come out, probably 120 pages in the end, with looking back at last year's result, and a bunch of predictions for this year, and basically look at every athlete and an assessment of where I think everyone's athlete's chances are for overall, where they are in the swim, bike, and run, some of their highlights, how their season went, and for a lot of them, some comments about where I think their chances are and what they want to be looking for in the race. Cool. And yeah, 120 pages is probably what I'll end up with.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, I'm definitely looking forward to reading it. And it's kind of interesting. You've, I should mention that you have a nice piece that is going to appear in the Lava pre-Kona edition, but you've become a resource for a number of magazines and probably on a global basis, I'm just guessing. Is that kind of fun for you? Just you ask for questions and feedback on how you might improve your analysis. Do you have some interesting conversations there?
Oh yeah, there's a lot of athletes that get back in touch with me basically before a race, then complain why I rated them so slow.
Fantastic.
I mean, the typical discussion is, you predicted me to run 2:55. I haven't run slower than 2:50 in the last 3 years. And then I look into my data and say, well, you did a 2:58 there. You did 3:00 there. You did 3:20 there. Oh yeah, I forgot about them. So, obviously, an athlete always has the good days in mind when he or she thinks how the next race is going to show up. And mine has the full data in there. And then there's always the discussion of, well, that bike time was slower because I had a flat in there. Can you please take that time out there? And all these discussions that go on, of course, because of that. So,
oh my goodness.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the feedback resulted in me tweaking the algorithm a little bit. So I still keep in the explosion. I mean, Meredith Kessler is a good example for that. She had a couple of really slow races in Kona, where she just decided to honor the race and finish the marathon, even if she was walking most of the distance there. And obviously, like 13-hour finish in Kona is not a good indication of her true capabilities. So if I leave that race in there, then obviously I'm weighing that a lot lower than I would do a typical Arizona finish 8:45 or so for her. That's just stuff that's grown over the years. And I guess there are still some rough edges among the algorithm that I have. But I think overall, it's pretty good. And the thing that I always say, it's probably the best that's out there because it's the only one, and the only one that does post predictions and seedings before races on a consistent basis. I mean, you always have odd predictions coming up here and there, but I don't think anyone does it as methodically as I do for all the upcoming races. Yeah. And I guess that's also something that a lot of athletes are looking for. I take as many start lists, entry lists, and so on that Ironman and Challenge and all the other race organizers post put them up on my site. So a lot of pros are just looking at my site to figure out who's racing.
Yeah.
And then a week or two when the lists are closed, I put in the seedings where I predict where everyone should end up. And then people are just looking, okay, who else is in the race? Who are the strong swimmers, bikers, runners? What kind of strategy do I need to employ? Will I be leading after the swim and need to be prepared for that? Or is there some other strong swimmers in there? Is there maybe someone that I can swim with who is cycling just a little bit faster than I am? So it would be great to team up with them and hold on to them on the bike. And these are all just little things that I've been told people use my data for.
Yeah, so they can map out an entire race strategy, or at least help get some good information on before they do that to, you know, try and
that's well. The interesting part for Kona, for example. I mean, there's hardly unknowns in the race for me, but I still have a good idea of what the race could look like, but things on race day are always different from what you prefer and what the raw numbers tell you. But even just building an understanding of what a typical race development would be, then helps me on race day to figure out, okay, what's different now? How come, I don't know, Sebi is only 2 minutes behind after the swim instead of the 4 or 5 minutes that he typically is?
Yeah.
Where should Lionel Sanders be after the swim? How long should it take, say, Daniela in Kona to bike up to the swim leaders? Lucy Charles is doing her usual swim in Kona. These are all things that I can, you know, kind of pre-build and then compare to what's actually happening to point out things that are unusual and that are interesting and that you could have a close look at.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And I'm kind of curious, any new names in the past year that have caught your eye, that you're seeing someone that that might make a significant jump, somebody that you just find impressive for one reason or another, that maybe they're making that jump to the next level, they might have a shot at the top five or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess from the obvious names that you would always hear on the men's side, Patrick Nielsen would be an interesting one.
Yeah.
He was, I think, the only one last year that did two sub-8s in smaller races. He did Copenhagen and he did Barcelona, both pretty fast courses, but still he was the only one who went sub-8 twice last year. Had a solid race in Frankfurt this year with a really good run. And that's always a good indicator of people's capabilities in Kona if they can have a really good run at a course that was nice and warm as Frankfurt this year. I mean, he's still, I think, the youngest male pro in the field. So I don't know if he's under any pressure to do well, but he's certainly someone that if his career progresses the way it has in the last couple of years, that I see as one of the big contenders in Kona over the next couple of years.
Yeah, that's true. And he's 8:15, 8:16 at Frankfurt, I believe. And, you know, another name that on the other end of the spectrum. And
yeah, sorry, Frankfurt was a 7:50 for him.
Oh, 7:50, excuse me. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was, I mean, the bike was short, so a 4:17 bike in Frankfurt.
That's
hard,
right.
Hard to put that in perspective. But even then, he ran a race fastest 2:40 marathon. And that's not too many that are able to run this fast in Frankfurt after a shortened bike.
Yeah, that, and you know, you, I'm not sure what years you were racing yourself. How long ago was that when you were out there competing as well?
Well, competing in quotation marks, right?
Yes.
The first one I did was 2005 in Frankfurt. And I think that was the year that Norman Stadler won there or Andy Rieland won there. I'm not sure from the top of mind. And the last one I did was 2010. So it's been a while for now, but I mean, all these discussion and ideas is, I mean, it's, I'd like to take one up. And this year we had the first Ironman Hamburg, which is close to where I live. So that was a bit of one that I thought about, but yeah, just going from where I am now towards an Ironman will be a multi-year project, and maybe I'll tackle it. But it's so hard to pick the right goals for an Ironman if you have done a couple and you want to do another one. Just to finish one might be a challenge, but I'm not sure if that's really the thing that will keep me interested for long enough to go through with it.
I just. You've been obviously around and part of the sport long enough that, I mean, to talk about Frodo for a second, you know, he's certainly one of the most remarkable triathletes in the history of the sport. I mean, winning a gold medal in the Olympics, and then now he looks like he's mastered the Ironman. It's hard to find, like watching him race last year. I was captivated by just his confidence and his patience and his just, you know, that's what I was witnessing. And I'm just kind of curious from your filter of how you look at athletes, what about Jan, you know, one of his weaknesses, in Olympic distance racing was, like a sprint finish in the run, but he like wiped out that weakness so he could do well with that. But I don't know when you look at Jan, what are some things that you see that are really impressive to you?
Well, obviously he's had the results in the last couple of years that make him, well, let's say the clear favorite for this year's Kona as well. Mm-hmm. The thing that I found impressive about his race last year is that during the race, you always felt like he had things completely under control. He was swimming with the front group. Yeah. He was with the lead bike group. He was maybe 20 seconds or 30 seconds or a minute behind in T2, but then he had like a really fast T2, ran out of it with Sebi, and then just ran away from Sebi at Palani or somewhere, and then built a lead and went on to win the race. So it looked like he had things completely under control, but then you saw him completely break down after he reached the finish line. And in some of the interviews that he did after the race, it became clear that what looked like total confidence and total control of the race was quite different from how he felt during the race, that he felt not too well in the race, that he had his moments where he was going into a really dark place to just stay with the front group and not lose too much time to the lead bikers there, that probably the run was pretty hard too. But if you have a lead and you're 3 minutes ahead of someone else, then obviously you take you try to get the last strength to mm-hmm. keep that lead and to continue to win the race. And I think that difference, that distinction, I found that very interesting, that he looked invincible during the race, but broke down after the race. That could mean a number of things. I mean, obviously, it's the sign of a champion that he doesn't show any weakness, and that he keeps things really well when it matters, and that he can relax afterwards. But it can also mean that it gives a little bit of an indication to the likes of Sebi or other stronger bikers like the Americans that, okay, we need to attack him maybe in the last part of the bike, and if we put on a concerted effort, maybe we have a chance of actually shaking him and building a decent lead. And if things develop slightly different, if say he's 3 minutes back in T2, then things could get really interesting this year. But yeah, different scenario. So
yeah,
I'm sure a lot of the lead bikers are thinking about that. And maybe then you have the addition of Cameron Wurf, who's been really strong on the bike this year, who might want to show his colors on the bike in Kona. Lionel Sanders is a bit of an unknown or hard to predict for the race. You know, there's so many little factors just in the men's race alone, and female race will be pretty interesting too if you don't aren't completely focused on who's likely to win the race.
Yeah, but they can certainly impact the race, especially if they change the dynamics of the bike leg, somebody like Lionel. You know, another character that, but Daniela Reif and her performance last year, I don't think she had any dark times. she definitely is in the zone. And, what about her? What's your sort of, when you think of strengths and weaknesses with Daniela, how do you kind of suss that out?
Yeah, I don't, like with Daniela, obviously when she's on, and I don't think anyone in the female field is able to challenge her for the win.
Yeah.
But we have seen instances of where she didn't have a perfect prep, or where she herself might have had some doubts before the race. Last year's 70.3 champs, I mean, that was kind of understandable that she wasn't in 100% shape there. But then she had the injury in the first half of the year. She raced Ironman South Africa with a back injury, and probably took her a while to find herself in the race and then mm-hmm. still win it. I mean, basically she's been having back problems. She was in pain. It took her like half of the race before she was loose and able to do something in the race. Still, she won it by, I don't know, a couple of minutes. Mm-hmm. Sub 9 time in South Africa, first time other than Chrissy that athletes have gone that fast. So it was still an amazing performance, even more so if you consider her preparation there.
Yeah.
And I don't know how it's hard to say this without being demeaning to the other women in the race, but basically it's Daniela's race to lose. And I can't see too many scenarios outside of her being injured or her having a mechanical stuff like that. I mean, all of these are things that I certainly don't wish on anyone, sure, that Daniela is not going to win the race. But I'm sure Heather and Mel Hauschild or the likes of that will have a plan in their mind and won't just cede the race to Daniela before the race has even started.
No, you can count on that. And you must be getting excited. I know I am. We're about a month out from Kona, and it always comes around so quickly. But it must be kind of I know what it's like to ship a magazine or a book, but your report, when you actually press send to get out to the folks that subscribe to your Kona ratings report, that must be kind of a nice feeling.
Yeah, I mean, that's the main piece of work, other than the regular updates on the website that I put out during the race. And that's a lot of fun to put that together. But as you said, it's part of my getting ready for the race myself, and having a closer look at what I think will happen this year. And for me, I'll be the first time in Kona ever this year. So I'm really looking forward to see the race in person. Yeah, this time. Yeah. So the report, as you said, it's on my site, tryrating.com. There's a little sidebar there. You just click on the logo, the title page of the report, then you get sent to a page. The report is available for free, and I know you've already pre-ordered it. But if people like what I'm putting out there, they can donate an amount of their choice for the report. Zero is okay. I'm happy with just sharing the stuff that I produce, but I'm always like it when people appreciate the work that I do and donate like they'd pay for a magazine in a bookstore or something like that. And I'm always embarrassed if pro athletes download the report and also donate, because they're part of the project, and it's them that I'm writing about, and they shouldn't just be directly paying me, but yeah, that sometimes works out too.
Well, it's certainly, I think it's a pretty good investment on their part, considering the kind of data that they can actually look and and see your analysis and kind of, and think through their racing and also what they might be up against in Kona. But you have my word that I will be pitching in some money. I saw it was on your site, and I thought maybe it was already available. So I, out of speed, I just clicked it. But I do believe that it's coming out. You're planning on September 16th, which is pretty soon, but it might be a little longer based on information you need to get the start lists and such from Hawaii Ironman. Ironman Corporation.
There's some stuff that I still need to get done. I've pre-written most of the stuff, but now I need to compile it in a form that it's presentable in a PDF. And I'm also waiting on the BIP list from Ironman that should be out in the next couple of days, I think. But then I need to add that into the report as well. So I might be a couple days late, but the way it works is you can put in a pre-order just like you did. And then you'll be notified once I upload and release it. Or if you get to it at a point after release, then you'll be sent a link where you can download the PDF.
Well, great. And what we'll do, Lava, is that when the report's out, we'll be sure to spread the word that it's available and perhaps offer a couple snapshots of what people can look forward to enjoying and digging into. 100 plus pages report. Of good hard information. And Torsten, thank you so much for taking some time to talk to us. I really appreciate the passion you have for all this, and I think I speak for a lot of us. Thank you. This is a lot of work. I think you know, my first job as an editor, this goes back a long ways. In the world of triathlon, I was an assistant editor for Triathlete, and the first job I was giving was to input race results to the race section of the magazine, and It took me a long time. So you're well beyond anything like that. So
yeah, I can probably press a button and generate exactly what you
go. You're hired. Okay.
Well, thanks. It's a lot of fun for me, and I have even more fun if I know that other people appreciate what I do. And I mean, I'd be doing this for myself, but I know a lot of others enjoy it as much as I do. And it's always fun to talk about the race, to meet people, and to maybe discuss in a friendly way the numbers that I'm putting out. And I know there's some numbers probably in there that some athletes or some people completely disagree with, but there's a basis for that, and we can always chat about it.
That sounds great. Well, thanks so much, and good luck, and I hope you enjoy being in Kona.
Oh, I look so much forward to it. Thank you.
All right.